Hey everybody, this is Dan Young.
And Craig Morrison.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Total Wellness Radio, where every week, Craig and I bring you natural, non-invasive approaches to today's most common health concerns that you can use immediately in your home with you and your family. So, thank you so much again for Craig, this is Dan, for tuning in to Total Wellness Radio. Hey, good day, everybody.
Good afternoon, folks.
Welcome to Country Doctors Wellness Wednesday, coming to you live from the Country Doctor Nutritional Center here in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We've got an interesting... You want that down?
Okay. Yeah, don't worry, they can at least see us.
Okay. We've got a topic that a lot of people don't want to talk about.
I wonder why.
Including me. Parasites. Parasite infestation. November 2nd, 2022 is our discussion, and we see this a lot. In fact, to kind of cut to the chase, hey, Shell, thanks for joining us. To kind of just jump right into the details, the average person living in America should consider doing a parasite cleanse about 2 to 3 weeks per quarter. Spring, summer, fall, winter. Up to 4 times a year, minimum twice a year for sure. If you have pets, 4 times a year is usually a better rhythm to get into for a cleanse. And also preferably during the week of the full moon. Mm-hmm. Because we know biologically that there's a lot more parasite larva hatch out activity during that time of the month.
During
any other time of the month. So anyways, this is one of those topics that a lot of people don't want to talk about. They're kind of squeamish about. They're like, oh, there's no way we live in such a, you know, a healthy...
clean environment.
We live in such a, you know, an advanced society and all this other stuff. And the truth of the matter is, on a weekly basis, and I mean weekly basis, we find this type of stress with people.
Yep.
And you and I have done our fair share of cleanses over the years.
Yep.
When it comes to following good parasite cleansing habits. And again, this is just something that everybody needs to be aware of. You know, there's several types of parasites. Craig can kind of touch on a few of those, but they do tend to live in the gut for the most part. Not always, but...
for the most part, yeah. They do.
That's where they get the food.
They're mostly in the form of a type of worm,
yeah,
that attaches to the walls of the intestines.
Mm-hmm.
There's egg layers, and then there's the microscopic, mm-hmm, types.
Can't even see with the naked eye.
Yeah, you can't see them with the naked eye. They're in your bloodstream, and either one of them can be just as insidious as the other. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you have microscopic doesn't mean that they're not really messing with your system, because they will.
Yeah.
The big ones, they will cause more pain, probably. They will cause malnutrition. There's
hey, Ari, thanks for joining us.
There's many, many different things that they will do to the human body. And usually you can see them when you have a bowel movement. Mm-hmm. It's like when a dog
scoots. The large ones you can, yeah.
Yeah. Like when a dog scoots and, you know, you see a little worm behind him. Well, believe it or not, we can get those worms. For some reason, the people in the United States seem to feel that they're above parasites. And believe it or not, we're not.
Yeah.
Everybody in this country carries parasites. It's just when they become, how should I say, when there's an over-infestation of them,
mm-hmm,
that we start to have problems. You know, because like I said, everybody carries parasites.
Yeah. We're exposed to them.
Yeah.
You can inhale them. You can absorb them through the skin. They can go enter through the through the nostrils, the mouth, the eyes, into the tear ducts. The spores, we live rural. We live in a very windy part of the country here in Cheyenne. And we have a lot of animals in our environment, cows and bison and antelope and deer and things of that nature that are constantly leaving fertilizer behind. This fertilizer carries a lot of spores and can become airborne. So, I mean, the exposure, it's not to be questioned. I mean, we really, we just have, and then here's the thing, too. We worm all the animals.
We worm all of our animals.
Except us. All the animals, dogs, cats, you know, sheep, chickens. If it's in the ration, they'll give them something in the ration that will help them rid the body of parasites, you know, the bison, the cows, the horses.
We worm ourselves because, once again, we think we're above it. But we are not.
Some of the primary... Hey, Liz, thanks for joining us. Some of the primary symptoms to be aware of. I want to talk about adults and kids, but also kids. Kids tend to have some specific ones. And again, if you have pets, you have dogs and cats that live in the house... Guess what? You're being exposed. I don't care what the stool sample says at the vet. I don't care what the vet says in terms of the unlikelihood that, you know, Jasper, the cat, is giving you any kind of parasites or exposure. The truth of the matter is, if you have pets and they're living in your home, you have exposure. They can come off the dander. The dogs can have the flea, the dander that is left behind in the environment, which will carry spores. That can be inhaled or drawn in through the skin. And yes, those are the kind of environments that we live in. You know, our great-grandparents really discouraged animals from coming in the house.
Yeah, that's why there's a thing called a doghouse.
And a barn. Yeah, people live in homes and animals live in barns. And when you bring your animals in from outside the barn or the doghouse and you let them live in the home, then they bring all of that environment with them. It's just complete common sense, and there's no denying it. But some of the symptoms can be a little misleading, like diarrhea to constipation, very liquidy bowels, okay? People that have fevers.
And chills on and off.
Or they'll go back and forth and have, you know, fevers.
For no reason.
To chills, yep. A lot of flatulence, a lot of belching. No matter what you eat, no matter what the person eats, seems to produce nauseousness.
Yeah.
Really upset.
Or and as much as vomiting.
And including vomiting, yes. These are just some of the things that when we have this type of activity taking place, you know, weight loss, heartburn. With kids... We really see a big activity when it comes to wild, vivid dreams. Also adults.
Wetting the bed.
Yeah, bedwetters, like they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old. And all of a sudden they go through this, you know, this series of, you know, can't control the bladder at night when they're sleeping. Complain about really wild dreams. They tend to itch their nose a lot. They kind of do this a lot. Or... they reach back and scratch their keister a lot. Okay?
Or the palms of their hands.
Palms of the hand. They'd be itchy.
The soles of the feet. Soles not in the between feet. The toes so yep. much as the soles of the feet.
Yep. So when you have that coupled with you know, any type of skin problems, chronic recurring non-resolving headaches, you know, these are the type of things that get diagnosed into things like IBS and Crohn's and irritable bowel syndrome, which is the IBS, irritable bowel disease, IBD. You know, you'll get a lot of sleep patterns. There's another one. Hey, Gene, thanks for joining us. A lot of sleep patterns can become disrupted. And so, you know...
And you'll notice that those sleep patterns that get disrupted or the dreams, they'll be cyclical. Especially in children, it'll happen during certain times of the month, and then they'll have periods of time where they're fine.
Yep, 2 or 3 weeks, they're fine, then boom, just flares up seemingly overnight. And pay attention, that's typically around the time of the full moon.
Yeah, because that's when parasites are the most active.
Most people don't realize that chlorination in water will not kill parasites either. It only kills the bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Chlorination. You knew that. Chlorination will not protect against parasite activity or parasite hatch outs in water. So
it's kind of like, you know, when we tell people it's not good to eat a lot of pork.
Yes.
And that's because, you know, you can take a pork roast and bake it into a hockey puck, scrape some of it off and hold it in your hand, put it on a petri dish, look at it, and you'll find live parasites in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we try to avoid pork as much as possible. But, I mean, I like bacon too.
Yep.
You know. And so every once in a while,
every day.
I'm going to have that. But we don't do it.
Not even every
day.
Week, you know, on occasion, but not all the time. Not all the time.
You know, so that's one of the things you want to look at also is don't eat as much pork as you usually do or used to do.
People who are on chronic, this is kind of some of the primary causes. People, and this country is the worst for it, constant use of antacids.
Mm-hmm.
Antacids constantly reducing the HCl, the hydrochloric acid in the gut, which creates an environment where this type of pathogen can't thrive,
mm-hmm.
where it actually does not get along well in a really well acidic environment. It's kind of a purification of that environment. It helps to the body's natural defenses to kill these things off.
One of the other things that's really important is a lot of these new and improved drugs that are immune suppression drugs.
Yeah.
Your body can fight off parasites if your immune system is strong.
Right.
Immune suppressing drugs are very dangerous in so many ways, mm-hmm. but this is one of the biggest things that will cause a parasite infestation.
Yep. Yep. Some nutritional applications. These are some of the things that everybody on a regular basis, just doing the basics,
mm-hmm.
but doing the basics consistently will help ensure that you protect yourself from an overwhelming activity of parasites. We're all going to have exposure. All of us at certain times will have active parasite activity, okay? Mm-hmm. But the difference is how long it lasts or to the depth of destruction it can do to the intestinal walls, to tissue. I mean, I've seen people that, you know, it would go to the point where they even see blood in the stool,
mm-hmm.
okay? You know, and that's very scary. It's alarming when you see blood in the stool. 9 times out of 10, that's an internal hemorrhoid. But if it's not, then your very next step is to look at an immune challenge. It's either viral or parasitic. And it's damaging tissue, and we're seeing evidence mm-hmm. of that in the stool. So,
yep.
Nutrient applications, enzymes, that's number one.
Yep.
Good quality digestive enzymes. So, a super.
You see,
good.
Undigested food is fuel for parasites.
Yep.
So, you want to make sure that you're. One of my favorite sayings, you know, chew your water and drink your food.
Yeah, drink your solids and chew your liquids.
And what we mean by that is when you take a drink of water, kind of swish it around a little bit and then swallow it. When you eat, chew your food until it is chyme.
Yeah.
It's actually broke down. And,
liquefied.
You know, that's one of the things that many of us don't do as well as we should.
Yep.
You know, I'm guilty of it as much as anybody else.
Craig always asks me, how can you eat so fast? Well, it's a habit. It's a bad habit. It's a bad habit. I tend to just eat pretty quick. And I know that I should just slow down, chew things up really well, liquefy them.
Yes.
Before we swallow food. And your body can then break it down better. It gets better purification in the tank and the gut. Better breakdown in the small intestine for the liver to process and use in the rest of the body. So.
And then there isn't food particles that are food for parasites in your gut.
Yep.
Probiotics are one of the great things that we
work a lot with people.
you know, because it helps to build up a good bacteria that will fight parasites.
Every single person listening to this or watching this video needs to know that if you're not doing a probiotic of some kind on a daily basis, that you should be. You really should be. And you really need to get the kids doing it, because the kids, here's what happens with the kids. They're the ones that are picked on the most with their health, because they're the ones growing up during a time when food quality is at its all-time low. Food quality and disease management care from modern medicine is at an all-time low in terms of actually getting any real meaningful results.
And antibiotics for anything.
And that you sneeze in front of a doctor, you get a script for an antibiotic. Which enzyme is best? Great question, Teresa. So, if, thank you for posing this question. Because if I didn't hear the question, I wouldn't have thought to say it this way. Pancreatic enzymes that are designed to help with primarily the enzymes for carbohydrates, sugars, things of that nature. So when you look at an enzyme, okay, and if you're having gas, bloating, nausea, heartburn, if you're a little sluggish in the bowel, okay, if you're the type of person who's actually seen food particles in the stool, okay, do what Craig said first. Pay attention to how well you're masticating that food, right? Mastification, chewing that up thoroughly. It's like, it's no different than the reason smoothies are so good for you. When the blender, the blades liquefy the fruits, the vegetables, the nuts, the oils, the avocado.
That breaks loose the enzymes.
And that breaks
and
things up.
The digestive process.
Digestion starts right here. So chew foods really good. Next, make sure that you are taking an enzyme that has either hydrochloric acid, amylase, protease, lipase. These are some of the ingredients. If you don't have a gallbladder, you need to be taking an enzyme that's broad spectrum like that and has bile. Bile salts, usually an ox source, but it'll say on the label it's got bile in there. And you need to be taking that, one of those, with every meal.
Yep.
Now, if you're just a person that does a little bit too many carbohydrates, or maybe it's on the sugar side, and meats don't tend to bother you, you know, gas or bloating, that type of thing, but you're eating a lot of carbs, you can get away with a product like Eszyme is a good one, or HP Digest is a good one. But for folks that need broad spectrum and they haven't been tested, I just tell them to get super enzymes because it does have a broad spectrum approach to digestion. Take one with meals. Give your body a week or two. See how you're performing. Less belching and gas and bloating and body aches and you know, better energy and, you know, all these things. Better bowel elimination, okay? These are all the things that we look for from a good quality enzyme, and we know that we have enough enzymes going through the system. So, Teresa, thank you for posting the question. We appreciate that. That's very important. What do we got next? Oh, things like grapefruit seed extract. To go along with this, washing the fruits and vegetables. Natural Grocers has a little jug. It's by North American Herb. It's a little white plastic container with a red top. Red letters on it says GSE, stands for grapefruit seed extract. 10 or 12 drops in a little sink of water for washing your fruits and vegetables, letting them soak, will actually just wipe out any type of parasite and other bacterial or parasitic activity that might be on the surface of these fruits and vegetables, and really prep them so that you can eat them and not have to worry about getting some, you know, that potential exposure. But grapefruit seed extract is amazing. Amazing. Do not get it full strength on your skin. It'll burn you. It's pretty caustic. Okay, that's why you want to dilute
pretty
it.
Very strong.
Very strong. You want to dilute it in the water, soak the vegetables, and go from there. So
here are some of the vegetables that are really good to eat. Artichokes, onions, and asparagus.
I love asparagus. I love onions. And we eat that type of thing pretty regularly. I get onions in almost every day.
Oh, yeah.
Almost every 5 days a week, 4 to 5 days a week, onions for sure. Love garlic. Eat lots of garlic.
Garlic is another thing that's really good for you.
Asparagus clears the kidneys, and a lot of times parasites in the bowel, but like you said earlier, hey, these things can hit the blood, they can hit the lymph system, and they love the urinary tract, and the body tries to eliminate some of these things through the urinary tract. So be aware of that. That asparagus, really great for clearing the kidneys and helping clear out the filtering tubules and kind of remove some inflammation, things like that.
Now, some of the things that you can do herb-wise, you know, black walnut is one, bromelain is another.
Bromelain's another enzyme. Get it from papaya.
Yeah, right. What do you call it? Wormwood.
Wormwood, thank you. Clove. Yep.
All of these in...
Let's take a look here. Yeah. Black walnut, you said wormwood, clove, sage, fennel.
Fennel seed.
And male fern are some of the other herbs and herbal formula to look for, along with some papaya leaf, which again, papaya leaf is another digestive aid. Papaya enzymes are widely known for how well they can help to balance the gut.
But those things will actually help to, they don't kill parasites. Parasites don't like them. Yep. It makes the parasites feel uncomfortable. They let go and you can eliminate them.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what you have to learn to understand is that, you know, most of these things aren't going to kill off. I'm taking this and it's going to kill the parasites. No. It's going to make it uncomfortable.
It's going to position the body to cleanse it.
Yep.
You can cleanse the body of them. Yeah. Yep. Parasite cleansing.
It makes it uncomfortable for them and they let go and then your body can do what it's supposed to and eliminate them.
Yeah. So foods and herbs and things of that nature create an environment where your body can perform normal functions. Part of its normal function is to not be infested with parasites.
Absolutely.
You know, part of its normal function is to have the right digestive environment, the right levels of hydrochloric acid, knock off the antacids and get your diet straight, right? It's designed to perform these duties on a very regular and very efficient basis. Problem is the environment of and food qualities and all these other things we're exposed to, inviting pets into the home, all that stuff, tends to diminish our body's ability to perform. So
the body takes care of itself by what we actually feed the body.
Yeah.
You have to remember that, folks. It's very
no way around it.
You know,
the health you have is the health you built.
And
good, bad, or indifferent.
The way you build good health is by nourishing your body with good, healthy food.
Food and herbs. Yep. So true. You know, it was one of the last comments I put on here. It's kind of an afterthought, but and we'll finish with this. But people that have TMJ and clench, right? They clench their teeth. Sometimes their dentist might say to them, you know, you're getting some wear spots. Do you know you kind of grind your teeth when you sleep? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that's another one with the kids, too. That's they just really grind those teeth when they're sleeping. These are known to be signs of potentially active parasite activity and needs to be corrected. So fume challenges, what else we got? Calcium, magnesium from superfood really makes a big difference. Sometimes Nervine or BF and C for the teeth grinders, the TMJs that we've had to release.
It helps to relax the muscle and the nerves so you can sleep better.
And even Janet, my father's wife, Sam and Janet, they sent me a little deal. It says sassafras bark tea. When he was a kid, they would take as a spring tonic. And she says here, Sam doesn't remember what it was for, but he had to drink it every spring. And they think it was probably for parasites. So these are real. The signs and symptoms, possible causes are real. And again, paying attention to a potentially minimum twice a year, preferably once every change of season for a week to 10 days, 2 weeks. Do some cleansing. Create an environment that drives these things out. People that have the twitchy eyelids or see the floaters in the eyes, ringing in the ears, you know, blood pressure concerns, some of those. Chronic kidney discomfort. I mean, there's so many. There's literally hundreds. Gotta be hundreds of physical communication your body gives you that this is present. Problem is, we're not taught how to interpret or listen to it. And anytime you go to a clinic, a mainstream medical clinic, they just think you have a drug deficiency. Here's a drug, or here's a salve, or, you know, drink that concoction, and so on. So being aware of this stuff, being aware is how you become empowered, and being empowered gives you choices, and those choices will take you in the right direction to improve your health. So,
and that's what everything is about, is to improve our health.
Yep, choices.
You know,
making those choices.
Do the best you can.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to get back at it here in the exam rooms. It's almost 1:30. Next week, we're going to discuss sciatic nerve pathways and some of the things that we have found clinically that really contribute to that concern for a lot of people. So we're going to cover sciatic nerve performance next Wednesday, the 9th of November. Be sure and tune in for the Facebook Lives on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Also, please, if you haven't had a chance to, please subscribe to the Total Wellness Radio podcast. We love having you over there and being able to share and like those episodes as well. My interview last night with Belinda Fetke from Tasmania, of all places, was really amazing. And some of the things that they're experiencing over there with trying to stand up to the sugar monopolies and the systems of healthcare. Fascinating, fascinating interview. It's episode 381. This particular talk is going to be episode 382, again on the Total Wellness Radio podcast. Thank you so much, Mr. Morrison, for you and everybody else watching and listening. Thank you for tuning in.
Have a wonderful and blessed day.
You folks. Do that. Take care. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. And for more information, be sure and catch us on Facebook Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at the Country Doctor Nutritional Center Facebook page. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in.